Mark chapter number 11, beginning with verse 12. The Bible says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And then if we jump to verse number 20, it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." I want to draw your attention this morning to the 13th verse and an expression that I would encourage you to notate or underline in the 13th verse. And it's three words, and it's the words "nothing but leaves." Nothing but leaves. Verse 13 says that Jesus saw a fig tree having leaves, and he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And this morning I want to talk to you for a few moments about nothing but leaves. Three bulls were standing in a pasture one day. And they were standing close to their owner's house, and they overheard their owner talking about needing to get some fresh bloodlines into their farm. And they were talking about bringing in a new bull. Well, the first bull looked to his other two bull friends and said, "You know what? I've been here 3 years." And he said, "There's not but about 50 cows on this farm." And he said, "30 of them's mine." And he said, "I'm not about to share my cows with no new bull." The second bull jumped in and said, "Man, I've only been here a year and a half." And he said, "I can tell you right now, I'm not about to share any of my cows with that new bull either." Well, the third bull jumped in and he said, "Look, I ain't been here but 6 months." And he said, "There ain't about 4 or 5 cows even like me." And he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not about to share any of my cows with this new bull." Well, the next day, a big diesel truck come driving down the long driveway of the farm. And the trailer was squatted down, riding almost on the axle. And the driver pulls in, puts it in park. They let the gate down, and a big Bramer bull comes strutting out of that carriage. Weighed over a ton. I mean, big old horns. Walked up, didn't have to peek through the fence, just flat-footed looked over the fence into the cows grazing in the pasture. That third bull said, "You know what, boys, I've been thinking." He said, "It is awful ugly of me to have the attitude that I've been having about this new bull on our farm." And he says, "You know what, I think I might share with him." The second bull said, "You know what," he said, "I've been thinking too." And he said, "I think I'll probably share with him too." About that time, the third bull busted out of the chute into the middle of the yard, just snarling, his hair bristles up on the back of his neck, pawing the dirt, just bellowing. And his other two friends said, "Man, what are you doing?" He said, "That thing will kill you." He said, "Look, I just want to make for sure that he knows that I'm a bull." You say, "Pastor, what in the world does that have to do with anything? With nothing but leaves?" What it teaches us is that the proper identification and the proper portrayal of who you are is important. And as we look here in Mark chapter number 11, we find the Lord Jesus traveling from Bethany with his disciples, and he comes upon a fig tree, and he desires for that fig tree to have fruit. But when he gets there, the tree indeed had no fruit. And through Christ's interaction with this fig tree, God teaches us a very valuable lesson about our lives and about our church and churches in general, and the need for us to be what it is that we portray to be. And so today I want us to very quickly walk through these verses and learn a lesson from the fig tree that God may help us to be more than just leaves. If you're taking notes this morning, the first thing I want you to make note of is let's talk about the profession of the tree. Number one, let's talk for a moment about the profession of the tree. As I mentioned to you, if you look here in verse number 12, the Bible says, "And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. When we begin in this passage, Jesus is traveling with his disciples and they're hungry, and he's hungry. And as Jesus is traveling, in verse 13, it says that he sees a fig tree afar off, and the fig tree has leaves. Now, this is an idea of what Jesus saw as he was traveling. This is a fig tree in the Holy Land. And so as Jesus is traveling from Bethany with his disciples, he comes and he looks afar off and he sees a fig tree, much like this one, that is absolutely covered with leaves. And so Jesus, being hungry, he comes to himself and he says, man, I want to go to this fig tree because I'm hungry and I could eat some figs and it could sustain me. But there's a problem. As we read on in verse 13, it says at the very end of the verse, it says, for the time of figs was not yet. So now we have a quandary on our hands. We have a tree that's full of leaves, and we have Jesus who's hungry, and Jesus comes expecting fruit, but it's not a time when the figs would be on the tree. Most theologians place the timing of this event, this account of this fig tree, somewhere around April. And fig trees in that region of the world usually don't produce ripened figs until June or July. And then later on in the season, there's new growth on the tree, and the new growth that would come on that tree would then produce a late harvest of figs somewhere around August through the rest of the fall until the wintertime comes. And so we have a question here. Why would Jesus come seeing a fig tree like the one that we have presented for you here, full of leaves? Why would Jesus expect that tree to have figs if it wasn't the time from when figs would be ripe on those trees? Well, we've got to understand the process of growth with a fig tree. A fig tree is very unique in the fact that with a fig tree, the buds are seen and are visible before the leaves are on the tree. You say, Pastor, what would that be like? Well, here's an example of what that would be like. Here's a branch of a fig tree, and you can see that the figs themselves have already begun to bud, but you'll notice that there are no leaves on the tree. The branch itself is yet barren. And so what we conclude from that is this. If you see a fig tree with leaves, then the natural conclusion is that that tree has figs because the figs come out before the leaves are produced on the tree. Well, now we have that question answered. Jesus came expecting to find figs because he saw leaves on the tree. And if there are leaves, then there must be figs because the figs come out before the leaves do. But now we have to address the issue, but what about it being out of season? Well, I told you that there are two times for the harvesting of the fig tree. Usually they ripen somewhere around June and July, and then there's a later harvest somewhere between August and the rest of the fall. Well, when the winter time comes, there are certain fig trees that do not lose their leaves, particular trees that don't lose their leaves during the winter time. Now, the buds that were originally on that tree, some of them actually lay dormant, and when the springtime comes and the temperatures go back up, those buds from the fall will actually go ahead and begin to produce, and the leaves will remain on the trees, and it will be what they call an early harvest. So when Jesus comes and he walks and he sees this fig tree, he has hope that this tree has figs on it because it has leaves. And because it has leaves, it must have figs on it. He was hoping that it would be the ripened fruit from the fall. But when Jesus comes to the fig tree, he finds that it had leaves. But he finds also that it has absolutely no figs. So here is this tree, and this profession that this tree is making with its presentation is this. I'm a strong tree. I have leaves, and therefore if I have leaves, then I must have what, church? Figs. And so this tree is professing to Jesus, the disciples, and everybody that comes by, I am full of leaves, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I am a fruit-bearing tree. But the problem was that this tree was professing a lie. It had leaves, but indeed, it had no fruit. So that's the profession of the tree. But notice the second thing. The second thing we see is the punishment of the tree. Secondly, this morning I want you to see the punishment of the tree. Now you may want to write somewhere in the margin of your Bible, this is the only destructive miracle that is ever recorded that Jesus performed in all of Scripture. Jesus is going to punish this fig tree because this fig tree has portrayed itself to be something that it's not. Let's talk about it for a moment. Let's notice first of all his reaction. His reaction. Verse 12 tells us that Jesus is traveling from Bethany and he comes, and the last three words of verse 12 is that he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. So Jesus comes with a need. He sees this fig tree full of leaves in the distance and he walks up to it hoping to find figs, and he finds that there are indeed no figs whatsoever, but instead he describes it as being nothing but leaves. And so what does Jesus do? Notice what the Bible tells us in verse 14. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." So here's Jesus. Get the picture in your mind. Here's Jesus, and he's got the 12 disciples with him, and he's hungry, and they're traveling from Bethany. He sees this tree, and he says, "Oh, boy, there's a tree, and it's got leaves on it. It must have figs." He goes up, and he looks, and he's looking through this tree, and he's looking all around, and he sees absolutely no figs. And he doesn't say anything to his disciples, but he whispers to the fig tree, "No man eat fruit of thee ever again." And he goes on, and his disciples heard it. Then we go to verse 20 in Matthew chapter 11, and what does the Bible say? A night has passed, and they travel back by this same fig tree. In verse 20 it says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So what was Jesus' reaction to this fig tree? He punished it. Jesus cursed this fig tree, and he caused this fig tree to not just to be dried up, but to be dried up from the roots, meaning that never again would this fig tree ever reproduce or do anything else. It was dried up, dead, completely. Jesus cursed this fig tree. Well, you say, "Well, Pastor, why did he curse the fig tree?" Well, let's notice secondly. Well, here's what he was looking for. I forgot to show you what he's looking for. This is what he came to look for. He came to look for figs. This is what Jesus came hoping to see. When he looked up into the tree, he came hoping to find some figs, some green figs maybe that hadn't ripened yet, and some purple figs that were ready to eat right there. That's what he came to find, but he didn't. And so his reaction was to curse the fig tree. But notice a second thing. Let's notice his reasoning. His reason. Now, it's important that we clarify, first of all, why he did not curse the tree. Jesus did not curse this tree out of a blatant reaction because he was hungry. In layman's terms today, he didn't curse the tree because he was hangry. Any of you ever been hangry? You don't even know what that is, do you? You know what hangry is? It's when you're hungry and then you're angry because you ain't had something to eat. You put them together and you're hangry. Jesus didn't curse the tree because he was angry. Jesus cursed the tree rather because the tree was bearing a false representation. There are no doubt as Jesus traveled there were other fig trees that had zero leaves and zero fruit. Jesus doesn't mention any of them. There are no doubt there were other trees beyond just being fig trees that Jesus came upon, and they may have had leaves, but they weren't a tree that bore fruit. Jesus never cursed them. But yet Jesus comes to this particular tree that is bearing a profession that "I am fruitful, I am strong, I am healthy." But yet he finds no fruit. And Jesus curses that tree. And the reason he cursed it is because it was bearing a false witness. This tree, in for all intensive purposes, was a hypocrite. This tree says, "Look at me, I'm full of leaves, I'm full of foliage, I am a fruitful, thriving tree. Come to me and you can find substance. Come to me and you can find help, you can find strength, you can find nutrition in me." And as Jesus interacts with this tree, he says, "No." He says, "You're a false witness tree." And he says, "I'm not ever going to let anybody else be deceived by the leaves on this tree." And he cursed it and it dries up from the roots. So we see the profession of this tree. We've seen the punishment of this tree. But now I want you to notice the third and final thing, and that's the proclamation of the tree. You see, God does nothing without purpose. And Jesus cursed this tree because he's trying to teach the disciples and he's trying to teach you and I a lesson. And we need to understand and grasp the thing that this story proclaims to us, because it speaks to us. It tells us something very important about several things. And I want to share those several things with you, and we'll be through this morning. The first thing that this tree proclaims is it proclaims the condition of the Jews. It proclaims the condition of the Jews. Now, you may know this already, but if you don't, you may want to jot it down somewhere in your notes. There's a thing in theology that is known as typology. Typology is simply an item or something in the Bible that illustrates or pictures something else. Sometimes it's called symbolism. Most of the time, scholars refer to it as typology. Well, when you see a fig tree in Scripture, a fig tree in typology is a picture of the nation of Israel and its fruitfulness. So when you see a fig tree, he's not just talking about a fig tree in regards to a tree. There is a bigger lesson here that he is trying to proclaim, and he's trying to proclaim a lesson about the condition of the nation of Israel. The fig tree Jesus curses is indeed a picture of the nation of Israel. And it is a picture because, like this fig tree, the nation of Israel gave the appearance of being really blessed. It gave the appearance of having all kinds of spiritual fruit, but in reality, it was a nation that was barren. Despite all their religious pageantry, despite everything that they did, despite their rich heritage, tracing it back all the way to Moses and the Ten Commandments and on and on and on, and all the things that God did, despite all of that, the condition of the Jews in Jesus' day was just like that of this fig tree. They had the appearance of being fruitful. They had the appearance of being strong and healthy, but in reality, they were without fruit to such extent that they denied the true and living Messiah, Jesus Christ. Like the fig tree, Israel appeared to be bearing fruit, but she was barren. But it not only portrays and proclaims the condition of the Jews, but secondly, it proclaims the coming judgment. It proclaims the coming judgment. Now, we don't know how many days or how many weeks or possibly even how many years that this tree had stood there, bearing leaves but no fruit. But there was a day when Jesus came by with that fig tree. And when Jesus came by, that fig tree had to give an account to him. And Jesus saw it, and Jesus comes, and he determines and discovers that this tree is bearing a false witness. And his judgment upon that tree was very severe. He judged that tree immediately. When Jesus whispers to that tree in the evening, he says, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." The very next morning, the tree was dried up completely from the roots. His judgment was immediate, and his judgment was also forever. Notice what Jesus says at the end as he speaks to the tree in verse 14. He says, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." His judgment was permanent. Israel would also face the judgment of God because of their hypocrisy. Jesus is proclaiming the condition. He displays the condition of Israel through this fig tree, but he also proclaims the coming judgment that would face Israel. And he had told them and warned them about their hypocrisy. Hold your place here in Mark chapter 11 and go back to Matthew chapter 23 for a moment, would you please? You're in the gospel record of Mark. Just go back to the gospel record of Matthew and go to chapter number 23. And in chapter 23, Jesus is preaching. And Jesus' main riff, his main confrontation with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people was that they had this form of godliness, but they denied the very power thereof. And in Matthew chapter 23, he's preaching to the scribes and the Pharisees. And in Matthew 23, verse 3, he says, "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Jesus says that the nation of Israel is made up of a group of people that say, yeah, you ought to do this, and you ought to do this, and you ought to do this. He says, and you should do this. He says, but don't follow their pattern because they say you should do it, but then they don't do it themselves. He goes on in verse 4. He says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says that the nation of Israel at the time was full of people who said, oh, we need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And they would just heap on and heap on and heap on things that needed to be done. But when it came time to do them, you couldn't find these Pharisees and Sadducees anywhere. Jesus says they wouldn't even lift a finger to help with these burdens. Verse 5, he says, but all their works they do, for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Verses 13 and 14, he says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in, that are entering to go in. Now look, I know sometimes people get hard on preachers today for preaching hard. Nobody preached any harder than the Lord Jesus Christ did. I've never been in a church service, maybe you have. I've never been in a church service where a man stood up and preached and looked at his congregation and called them a bunch of hypocrites. That's exactly what Jesus just did. He didn't say it one time, he goes on and on. In verse 14, he says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Notice the explanation. He says, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Jesus just told the most religious people of the day that they were going to face damnation because they were hypocrites. This fig tree and what Jesus does is simply continuing on in the same message that he's preaching here in Matthew 23. He comes to this fig tree that pictures the nation of Israel, and he says, just like the nation of Israel fig tree, you're a hypocrite. You portray one thing, but in reality, you produce no fruit. And because of that, I'm going to judge you. And he does judge them. And in AD 70, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. In AD 135, the Romans put an end to the Jewish national life. This tree and the judgment of it being dried up from the roots was a picture of the coming judgment that the nation of Israel would face. So this tree, this fig tree, this insignificant thing that we may read over in our devotions and pay no attention to, it had great value, it had great significance because it proclaimed the condition of the Jews. It proclaimed the coming judgment. But the third and final thing that we see is it proclaims a caution for our journey. It proclaims a caution for our journey. I want to be very clear, this tree does not represent the church, it represents the nation of Israel. And the church is different from the nation of Israel. However, we can make an application to our lives today, and we can make an application from this fig tree about the church and about our lives. Now, Jesus says that Israel was like a fig tree full of leaves and no fruit. But think about Israel for a moment. Israel was one of the most religious people and nations of the world. When you think about these Pharisees here in Matthew 23 that Jesus was calling hypocrites, these are the Pharisees, and think of all the things that they did. These Pharisees met in a temple. These Pharisees and these Sadducees, they read in the Old Testament law. They studied it. They memorized it. They had feasts annually throughout the year. They had sacrifices, they had offerings, they had all kinds of things that they were doing. But Jesus looks at them and he says that you are a bunch of hypocrites. They were filled with religious activity, but they had no fruit. No matter all that they did, it gave no life, it gave no peace, and it gave no joy. And here's the caution to the church. We can have all the religious activity that we want to have. We can have services just like we're having today. We can have singing. We can have preaching. We can have teaching. We can have activities. We can have outreaches. We can do all kinds of things. But if we're not careful, we can do all those things and still end up just like the fig tree, having an appearance of being fruitful, but in reality producing no fruit. You see, what happened with the nation of Israel and what happened with the scribes and the Pharisees is that they made an end of something that God never desired to be an end. They took all the ceremony. They took all of the feasts. They took all of the sacrifices. They took all of the worship in the synagogue, and they made that an end. Do you understand what I mean when I say they made it an end? They made it a goal. God never intended all of those things to be an end. He intended for those things to be a means to a greater end. The greater end being a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead, they made them an end. They made serving God all about the feast. They made it all about the temple worship. They made it all about the sacrifices. And yet, all of those things in and of themselves served one purpose and one purpose alone. It was to picture the work of Jesus Christ. It was to draw them into a closer relationship with Him. And what I'm saying to you today is this. In our society today, if we're not careful, we can make church all about the ceremony. We can make church all about the pageantry, all the religious activity, and we can lull ourselves into the belief that if we just go and do all the things that we should do, then God will be pleased with us. But what we see with this fig tree is that God was not pleased with that. The tree looked right. It seemed right. But it produced no fruit. Think of it this way. There's two ways you can approach a church worship service. You can approach a church worship service in one way that says, all right, from the top to the bottom, we want everything to be perfect. Man, we want the graphics to be right. We want the singing to be right. We want it to be on tune and on pitch. We want nobody to miss a word. We want the offering to be up, everybody to look right, act right. We want the sermon to be good. Man, we want it to be interesting. We want it to be a little entertaining. We want it to be thought-provoking. And most importantly, and you better say amen, we want it to be short. We can go in and say, hey, that's what we want. And at the end of the service, if all the sound was right, we didn't have any miscues with the sound, no microphone screeched, nobody in the choir missed a note, the pastor preached a thought-provoking, entertaining sermon, and it was short, most importantly, and all those things, then we can walk out the doors and we can look at it and say, God's pleased with what we did today. Man, we had a great service. That's one way we could look at it. That's the way Israel looked at it. Or we could look at it a different way. We could look at it and say, yes, we want all the sound to be right. Yes, we want all the singing to be right and on pitch and on tune. And yes, we want the sermon to be interesting and entertaining and thought-provoking and we want it to be emotional. We want it to be short. And we want all those things. But we understand that the most important thing is that God speaks to our heart. And that when we leave that worship service, that we feel like we now have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. You understand the difference? And if we leave and we don't have a closer relationship with God, or we leave and we don't feel like God spoke to our heart, then we think to ourselves, we didn't have a very good service today. You mean to tell you the services that your pastor goes home excited about? The services that I come home excited about, not the services when the choir is great. Not the services necessarily when the attendance is great. I love when we have more people than when we have less people. Who doesn't? I'm human. But the services that I go home and in my heart, the Holy Spirit's cutting cartwheels, is the services when I preach and I sense that God is moved and that people are helped and that people are strengthened and that they're drawn closer to Christ. If that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter whether we have every pew and every seat in the balcony filled. If God's not changing lives, then what we're doing is nothing more than this fig tree. All we're doing is giving the appearance of being strong and healthy, but we're not producing any fruit. And may God help us to become a people that have come into church desiring to hear God's voice speak to our heart. God, speak to me today. God, show me today how I can be more like you. God, show me today how I can be a closer Christian, how I can be a better Christian. Show me today how I can minister to those around me. And may God help us never to be a people that come in and make an end of our service, that make an end of our outreach, that make an end of something that God never desired to be an end. Everything we do is nothing more than a tool in the hand of God to draw people closer to Him. Every bit of outreach that we have, it's all about trying to draw people closer to Him. Every Sunday school lesson we have, it should be about drawing people closer to Him. It's no wonder that God's blessing's not on churches in our country, because we've started worshiping other gods. People flock to churches that are entertaining. Look, I enjoy having a good time as much as anybody, but the goal of First Baptist Marshville is not to entertain the people that come. The goal of our church is to please our Savior. Because without Him, we are not a people. We have no hope. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the caution of the fig tree? Jesus comes to this fig tree and He says, look, He said, this is the way you are as a nation, Israel. And because of that, I'm going to judge you. And I believe God says to us through the fig tree today as a church, look, if you're going to have leaves, then you better have fruit, or I'm not going to be pleased with you. And as a people, we've got to understand that at the end of the day, our purpose is about reaching people. It's about seeing people saved. It's about seeing men and women come into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ to grow in their faith. And it's about seeing those same people turn around and begin to invite and try to draw other people to come to Christ. That's what it's about. Everything that we do, that's what it's about. Wherever somebody falls into that category, that's what we're trying to accomplish. And when we come to church, we should come with our hearts open, saying, God, speak to me today. And if He does, then we leave saying, God was pleased with that service. But if we leave and say, man, God just didn't work today, God didn't seem to speak today, then our hearts should leave grieved. And it should drive us to our knees to pray, so, oh God, please help us. God, speak to hearts again. God, please move in the hearts of people. May God help us to be a church and a country that's more than just leaves. I don't want Jesus, when I meet Him, to say, Scott, all you were was nothing but leaves. And the church that you pastored, the churches that you served in, all they were was nothing but leaves. Rather, when He comes and when I meet Him, I want Him to say, there was fruit there. I could bless there. I could bless your life. May God help us not to be just leaves. Let's bow our heads in prayer.